And reading again this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 9 and 10. Then Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the house of the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, your words to us are always interesting. You call us to leave the comfort of all of our material possessions and to venture out into unknown territory. Yet you also assure us that we need not be crippled by self-doubt and by unwelcome feedback. Gracious God, be with us as you call us and as we follow. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I really apologize that our service may be a bit shorter today without the children's time, so I'll do my best to extend the service to fill up that gap, because I know none of you have Father's Day plans or anything today. I have a little issue that plagues me sometimes, which I'm pretty sure is unique to me and to my personality. I have yet to meet anyone else who shares the same issue with me. I wish there were others, in fact, with whom I could talk about my occasional problem, because it would be so much easier to deal with it. But alas, I think I am destined to suffer alone. You see, there are times when I take things personally, and I know that never happens to the rest of you, right? Those of you who are in relationships, I know, are always able to remove yourself enough from what your partner says to you that you can always step back from the situation, put everything in perspective, and walk away without any nasty comments in return, without any hard feelings, and without internalizing anything that has been said. Am I right? How we all wish. You know, it doesn't matter whether we're dealing with partners, with children, with friends, colleagues, people where we work, people where we volunteer. We have this human tendency to internalize everything that is said to us and take it personally. I remember being at a preaching conference once when one of the presenters who had become a good friend was preaching, and one of the stories he shared was so diametrically opposed to my situation that I took offense. I mean, he knew my situation. He knew the struggles I was having. How could he possibly tell a story that flew in the face of my experience? And so, as we are able to do these days, while he was still preaching, I got out my cell phone and I texted him my reaction to what he had said. I want all of you to put your cell phones back in your pockets and leave them there. Basically, the short answer I received in return was this: Sheila, it's not all about you. Now, it was said with much more eloquence in the style of a professional preacher. It was said with kindness and with respect. But the message really was clear. We as Christians belong in community, and never, ever is anything all about us. The passage from Matthew's gospel about Jesus sending the disciples out is an interesting one. It reminds us that Matthew believed Jesus' mission was primarily to the Jews, that Jesus was a fulfillment of the prophecy from the Hebrew scriptures, not a contradiction to it. Now, Paul has a lot to say about whether or not that understanding of Jesus' ministry was accurate, but today we simply work with the reality that that was the way Matthew understood Jesus' mission. I think that would sort of be like some of us today being singled out to preach a message to the established church, the Church of Jesus Christ, the church that has brought structure and meaning to our lives for centuries. And we'd be commissioned to say, not so much that we got it all wrong, but that there's going to be a revision to the plan, a better way, a necessary turn in the road. You know, in fact, if we've kept an ear to the ground recently, it is what we're hearing from those who seem to have had a vision for the future to which not all of us have been privy. A vision of a church that is no longer tied to buildings, a vision of a church that's no longer tied to the establishment, but rather is tied to the mission of reaching out beyond its doors, spreading the good news, doing the good work the original disciples were commissioned to do. And it's no surprise to any of us that today, as in Jesus' time, the response is not always warm. At those preaching conferences I attend every year, the general theme has undergone a drastic change. When we gather these days, there is no longer the assumption that we are ministering to a healthy church that will be here forever, but rather that we are living through a time of change, and we must look for new ways to share the good news outside of the established church. And that message is not always welcomed. It has been a bit of a hard sell to those of my generation who love traditional worship and who, when we entered ministry, just assumed that the church would always exist as a strong force in our communities and in our country. I'm sure there have been presenters at the conferences over the past few years who have indeed walked away shaking the dust of our disdain from their souls, wishing they didn't have to deal with those of us who long to hold on to tradition. And there have been times when we as local congregations have shaken our heads at each other and at ourselves as we've strived to understand that things like messy church are viable worship options for people these days. That just as some of us feel Sunday morning at 10:30 is the norm, others understand church and community and worship in a whole different way. It's all a steep learning curve for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, who feel we are sent not just to spread the word to those outside of the fold, but to bring a new message to those who are already on board. Sometimes we have a vision for the future that fills us with excitement, but meets with suspicion and resistance from those who want to keep the faith as it has always been, handed down from one generation to another. And sometimes we can't help but take it personally, because we do have a very personal spiritual investment in what any of us believe is God's plan for the future. But we always need to step back. We need to always remember that it isn't actually all about us. When we take it all personally, either as the ones who sense the change coming and are excited by it, or the ones who don't want to hear the message and are offended and threatened by it, we all sometimes need to give our heads a shake, brush off the dust of past assumptions, and remember that it isn't our church after all. It isn't our plan. It isn't our decision. It isn't our wisdom that guides and directs and challenges and encourages us. The church we so love is the church of Jesus Christ, and it will be what God calls and wishes it to be. Thanks be to God.